You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last Sunday, thousands of people from around the country gathered to commemorate the anniversary of New Zealand and Australian troops landing on the Gallipoli Peninsula. Many people in New Zealand see World War I as a defining moment in New Zealand's identity and the point at which the country became independent. However, some historians have recently questioned this assumption, arguing that other conflicts from the 19th century between Māori and Pākehā were actually more significant. Vincent O'Malley is a leading historian who argues that the New Zealand Wars, and in particular the Waikato War, changed New Zealand to a much greater extent. The conflict and resulting policies from the government allowed Pākehā to strip Māori of their land and language and assert their sovereignty on New Zealand. Earlier this week, I spoke to O'Malley about his thoughts on Anzac Day. We discussed why Anzac Day is celebrated by so many New Zealanders, how he expects it to change, and the way that history is taught in Aotearoa. I started by asking him what the issue is with focusing so much on Anzac Day.
Well, I don't have a problem with Anzac Day per se and remembering those who served their country in foreign wars, but I think it's the case that we also need to remember the wars that were fought here, the New Zealand Wars of the 19th century, and I've argued that these were defining conflicts in New Zealand history, and by comparison with World War I, and in particular Gallipoli, they've been neglected and ignored. That's starting to change in recent times, but I think there's still quite a bit of work to go there.
Why exactly were these 19th century events so defining?
Well, I think they had a major influence on the shape and direction of New Zealand. There were huge numbers of British troops who served here, over 18,000 troops at a time when the Pākehā population was around 60,000. And they were also really, in a sense, conflicts about what the nation was and what it would become in terms of two different understandings of how Māori and Pākehā would live together. On the one hand, you had Crown expectations of absolute sovereignty and control over the country. And on the other hand, Māori had signed a treaty that promised some partnership in Tino Rangatiratanga. And those two understandings of what the Treaty of Waitangi meant weren't resolved in 1840. They kind of coexisted uneasily for the next 20 years. So the main sequence of the New Zealand Wars between 1860 and 1872 are really about determining whose version of that treaty will prevail. And the Crown does enough in those conflicts to achieve the upper hand and to impose its version.
And so if these events were as defined as you say, why is it that Anzac Day is so celebrated? And why do you think it has remained in the collective consciousness of New Zealand?
I think Anzac Day is seen as a source of patriotic pride. We stand together to remember those who served their nation in foreign wars, and you know, politicians love nothing better than to be seen at Gallipoli, at least in the pre-COVID era, and that's seen as something warm and fuzzy in a way. And compare that with the New Zealand wars, which some people would see as something that's divisive, and I think that's completely wrong. You know, this history of internal conflict makes some people feel uncomfortable, but what I've always argued about this is that a mature nation needs to own its history, warts and all. And I think actually understanding and embracing that history of the New Zealand Wars is something that can bring us together. I don't see it as necessarily divisive. It is about genuine reconciliation, grounded in dialogue and an understanding of our past that says that these things happened and they are part of our history, and we need to accept that. We need to remember that history and acknowledge it alongside World War I and World War II and those other events that are also part of our history.
Do you think this sort of change and maturing, as you say, is happening in New Zealand?
I think we've turned a corner in the last 5 years, in particular thanks to the students from Otorohanga College, who in 2015 organised their petition and sent to Parliament calling for Mau Mahara, a National Day of Commemoration for the New Zealand Wars. So we've got that now, and I think that will only become stronger over time and, you know, potentially grow into something a bit like Anzac Day, that this is, you know, a solemn day to commemorate that history. But the second thing those students called for was also for history of New Zealand Wars to be taught in all schools, and that's going to be introduced from next year. And I think in the long term, that will be a very major thing, because generations of New Zealanders went to school learning nothing about this history at all. And so there's a lot of ignorance around this aspect of our history as a result. Hopefully in future, you know, that will change. And what I can see is that children will be educating their parents and grandparents who missed out on learning about this history in their own school years.
I know recently, in Jacinda Ardern's speech, she paid particular attention to the role of women, and other Anzac commemorations have had an increased Maori presence. Do you think sort of alternative histories and perspectives can all be tied up together into the Anzac commemoration, and potentially New Zealand wars are part of this as well?
I think there's a place to give greater acknowledgement to the New Zealand Wars as part of Anzac Day. And there are also other aspects, I think, of the history that should be acknowledged as part of that as well. For example, the role of conscientious objectors during the World Wars is something that's overlooked. And there were Tainui men from the Waikato who were interned during World War I for refusing military service. And so those aspects of the past, you know, I think need to be acknowledged as part of Anzac Day. The danger with saying that, you know, the New Zealand War should only be remembered on Anzac Day is then that history becomes subsumed into a much broader range of events. So I think there needs to be that acknowledgement on the day, but having a separate day that's focused solely on those conflicts, I think, is also quite important as well.
Can you see a point where Anzac Day will stop being celebrated? Younger generations may have a sort of different national identity, and events they see as defining, even something like COVID-19 is arguably more defining to younger generations than a war from 100 years ago. When do nations change what they commemorate?
Well, I mean, Anzac Day itself has, in terms of how that's been commemorated, has changed quite dramatically over the years. You know, through the 1960s and 1970s, there were significant protests around New Zealand's involvement in the Vietnam War, about the place of women in New Zealand society, and various other matters as well. So it's really something that's only revived in popularity since the 1980s, really, and people have flock to those days. It's become something that was important to recognise. But I think as part of that, you've also sort of seen, you know, attempts to turn that into something where these myths around, you know, New Zealand was born at Gallipoli and these soldiers fought for our freedom and so on, you hear that sort of rhetoric as part of it. And I think that turns some people off, and particularly, I think, many younger people as well. So in terms of the future of Anzac Day, no doubt that will change, and it may be a day to reflect on a wider range of events and people. Whether Anzac Day per se is something that will, you know, no longer be commemorated in the future, that's very difficult to say. I don't see that happening in the near future anyway, but I do think that how it's commemorated and what is remembered will change.
And talking of adding other perspectives into commemoration, are there other histories that most of New Zealand aren't aware of that you would like to see?
Yeah, I think there are quite a few, and that's something that we've been discussing and debating in terms of what the new history curriculum should reflect. And, for example, one aspect of that history that I don't think is widely known is New Zealand's role as really an imperial power in the Pacific, in places like Samoa and the Cook Islands and so on. And, you know, the huge impact that had on those societies. One of the things about the new history curriculum is that it will provide opportunities for schools to focus on aspects of that history that are most relevant to their students. So, for example, schools with very high Pacifica student enrolment might choose to focus more on that aspect of our past. So there are lots of opportunities to engage with this history and to provide what we call place-based learning to those communities so that they become aware of this history and can engage with it.
There's one particular aspect I wanted to touch on, which is the role of popular culture. There are a lot of big international films, I know something like 1917, which potentially share some of the same sentiment as Anzac commemorations, but there are far fewer books or films in the mainstream about events such as the New Zealand Wars. What do you think the role of pop culture is in how we see historical events?
Well, I think it's huge, and for example, one of the ways that many older New Zealanders learned about the Waikato War was through watching Rudel Hayward's film Barry's Last Stand that was made in 1940. And, you know, I think there are huge opportunities to engage with this history in creative ways, whether that's in film and theatre, in art, and all sorts of other forums as well. Really what's required for that is the resources, is funding for that. There are no shortage of brilliant and creative Māori directors and artists and scriptwriters and so on who are only too willing to be able to share and tell those stories. They just need to be given the opportunity to do so, I think.
And so is that opportunity come from the government?
Yeah, well, ultimately it comes through agencies that are set up to assist with funding of film and literature and so on. So yeah, ultimately I think that does require some level of government funding to support that process.
There's one other aspect of how we remember our history that I'd like to touch on. And it's an issue that I think around the world people have recently come to terms with it, and it's to do with colonial statues and those sort of things. Right by where I am at BFM is Albert Park, which is decorated with various statues, including one of Queen Victoria and one of George Grey. What should we do with these? Should they stay? Should other figures be added to it?
It's healthy to have dialogue and discussion around that history and how it's reflected in those monuments and memorials. And also other things like street names and place names. You know, we've got a number of Grey Streets, Fontemsky Streets and so on. And is it appropriate today for those to remain? And those monuments and memorials that are there in Albert Park and elsewhere reflect the particular values and priorities of the era when they were erected. And in some cases, they no longer reflect the sort of society that we aspire to be today. So I think it's healthy to have a discussion around that, given that many of these are really explicit celebrations of British imperialism and colonialism. The question in terms of what to do with them, it's not necessarily a case of leave them as they are or remove them. A third option is also to contextualise them, whether that's simply through adding information panels that provide the missing context, the explanation of the history from today's perspective, or it could be through the erection of new monuments or memorials alongside them that acknowledge those who are forgotten in those existing ones, which is often, you know, Māori and women and so on. So there's an opportunity for that. I don't think it's necessarily there's a single answer to that. I think it's a case-by-case situation, and that's something that iwi and hapu need to have a major role in determining what should happen with those monuments and memorials around the country.
That was Vincent O'Malley on the role of Anzac Day in New Zealand. I also wanted to get an alternative perspective on Anzac Day, so I spoke to National President of the RSA, BJ Clark. We discussed why he thought Anzac Day was so moving to New Zealanders, the way in which commemorations have changed over time, and his thoughts on O'Malley's perspective on Anzac Day. To start, why do you think Anzac Day is so significant and resonates with so many New Zealanders?
It's an interesting question, actually, because it is something that has resonated even more over, you know, probably the last 10, 15 years, where we've seen the crowds increasing at our Anzac Day services. But I think it's all about New Zealanders today have a better understanding of the commitment that service personnel have done in the past, and they understand that it's important that we never forget that service and what it cost, so that hopefully we don't make the same mistakes again, or we don't walk into those same mistakes again.
How have the celebrations for Anzac Day changed over the past 100 years? How have different generations viewed it and commemorated it?
I think that basically the commemoration is very much the same, but I think the emphasis, we know that Anzac Day started in Gallipoli, but I think what we have been careful to do is to also, whilst we acknowledge where it started, we have to also understand that we remember all of those that have served in various conflicts since, and also we remember those that are currently in our services and serving overseas today.
Do you think Anzac Day is still relevant to some younger generations, considering, I know it's commemorating different wars, but sort of fundamentally it is a war that happened 100 years ago?
Yes, you're correct in that, but I think the war that happened 100 years ago, if we're talking about Gallipoli, as I say, that's where it started. But we ensure that we acknowledge all of those different conflicts that have happened over the years, and I think it is important. It's important that we remember, because those people, in a lot of cases, gave their lives or were killed, but also a number of them came back maimed and injured, either physically or mentally. So we should acknowledge that service, And when we remember that service, I think it also shows that it's not about the glorification of war. It's just about acknowledging and thanking those that served so that we can enjoy the wonderful country that we have today.
How do you expect Anzac celebrations to change in the future? Do you see the current way of commemorating to stay the same, or do you think it could evolve?
I think basically it will stay the same, and that we will, we'll raise flags of countries that we that are involved with us. We will remember, but I think where it has to evolve is it needs to start moving forward to acknowledge the more recent conflicts and to acknowledge our current service personnel and not only, you know, what we call peacekeeping operations, which can quickly turn, turn into something more serious. But New Zealand has got an incredible reputation for being efficient peacekeepers. So, you know, one would hope if we can concentrate on that side of things, that we will not, quickly walk into, more serious conflicts.
Something we're looking at on our show today is how Anzac Day and the wars it commemorates sort of compare to other wars. We spoke to a historian, Vincent O'Malley, who's argued the 19th century New Zealand wars were perhaps more significant to the country than some of the wars Anzac Day commemorates. It's a bit of a broad question, but do you have any thoughts on this? Do you think there's perhaps a place for these 19th century Pākehā Māori conflicts to be incorporated into Anzac Day?
Certainly, and I think, as you know, that the government is looking at more formalising the recognition of that. But you're quite right. Anzac Day has, I go back to the roots of Anzac Day being Gallipoli. But we do need to look at acknowledging all service to New Zealand, and that should include those wars as well. I've no doubt about it. And you know, you raise a very good point. It's probably something that should be acknowledged, and as the government is making plans around that, no doubt that will come into our role or on Anzac Day more. I mean, in the past, for example, it was focused. It was focused on Gallipoli, and it was focused on Europe. And we had a number of people, for example, saying, we don't see acknowledgement of the war in the Pacific, for example. And I think those are things that we sort of set up and took notice and go, yep, you're right. We need to consider all of the theatres of operations. And it's not probably only about the last 5 or 6 years that we've been making a point of acknowledging the more recent conflicts. And so I suppose that is, as you say, that's the way that it is evolving.
That was BJ Clark, National President of the RSA, on the way that New Zealand commemorates Anzac Day.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.